Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Time now for more coverage of the Nor'easter. WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein joins us over Skype. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
First, what happened overnight during that last high tide?
Well, depending on which community you were at, there was, again, more moderate to major flooding across the area. The flooding in Boston was slightly less than what we saw during the noontime yesterday. The actual tide itself, had there not been a storm, was lower than the previous high tide anyway to begin with. So I think that helped a little bit. Also, winds were a little more northerly, so that helped a little bit. So that was some good news.
And in locations outside Boston, worse than expected, not as severe?
I think pretty much what was expected yesterday. The tide forecast were pretty much spot on. You know, they're off by a few inches. It's very difficult to know exactly how high the tide's going to go. So we always see a range. There's actually a number given, but there's actually, if you look at it in detail, there's usually a range of about 4 or 5 inches for these high tides.
Let's talk about the next tide. When does it arrive and what's the potential impact?
Okay, so the next high tide comes in Boston officially at just about noontime. And it will be all up and down the coastline between just before noon and just before 1 o'clock. Most areas are going to see flooding similar to what we saw yesterday to slightly less. There will be some areas where perhaps it's a little higher than yesterday. A lot of areas will be a little bit less than yesterday. But in general, we're not going to see anything that's monumentally worse at all. Of course, winds are not as strong. The storm's a little bit further away and the waves have subsided ever so slightly.
Yeah, speaking of those winds, the high winds certainly were a major part of the storm. We all felt that wind and heard it. Looking at the readings, just how strong were the winds?
Yeah, amazing, these winds. Really the strongest since 2005. There was a storm back in December where parts of Cape Cod had wind gusts to 100 miles an hour. But I would say that this is the strongest storm a lot of folks down there will remember since Bob in 1991. So Barnstable, 93 miles an hour, East Falmouth, 92, Wellfleet, 91. We have Woods Hole at 88. You go down to Nantucket, winds over 90 miles an hour. Also on Martha's Vineyard, 88 at Oak Bluff. So you get the idea, Logan Airport, 70 miles an hour. This was pretty significant. We all felt those winds, no matter where you were, even inland areas with all the power outages.
Right. Now, I know you've also been reporting about the significant amount of rain this nor'easter delivered. How much? What sort of totals?
Yeah, so it depends, again, on where you are. Generally, it was a 2 to 4 inch rain amount, but there were some places which saw more than that. We have a couple of 5 inch amounts. East Bridgewater, 5.74. Brockton, 4.61. Those are a couple of the higher amounts that I could find. Also down in Rhode Island, westerly 4.85, so approaching 5 inches. But generally, it was in that 1 to 3 inch range with a sweet spot, I'd say, right around 3 inches. One of the things that's interesting is we're in a blocking pattern, so the storm's kind of stuck out there. It's just sort of spinning around, and it's actually going to move backwards a little bit. Now, don't panic. We're not going to go through what we went through again, but there is going to be a little bit of energy coming around the backside of that storm, bringing us some snow here for tomorrow night. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a coating to a couple of inches from the western side of this storm system. Eventually, it does move away Monday and Tuesday, and that makes way for another potential nor'easter here on Wednesday. Now, it's not going to be nearly as strong. It will bring rain or snow to the area. Still a little early to say what it will do, but we're in a colder and wetter pattern now for at least the first 10 days of the month. It's going to be more what you'd expect in New England spring to be like, not the April and May-like temperatures we saw last month.
All right. Well, thank you, David.
You're welcome.
As Dave mentioned, the South Shore is one of the areas hit particularly hard by the nor'easter. Marshfield Town Manager Michael Maresco joins us now to talk about the latest conditions. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you doing?
Okay. What are conditions like right now in Marshfield?
They're really not good. You know, we have about 8,600 folks without power right now. We have a few hundred trees that are down. Town-wide, we have a number of telephone poles that are snapped in half. We have a lot of wires exposed around our town. We have a driving ban in effect unless you have something really important to do or asking people to stay off the roads. And we're preparing for another tide. There's going to be a heavy tide at about 1 o'clock this afternoon. So You know, we need to make preparations to keep our citizens safe.
Right. What are the preparations that are underway for that third and final high tide?
Well, it's really, you know, we're warning people, you know, if you're in an area that's prone to flooding, if you've already had a lot of flooding, you've had a lot of damage to your home, you want to think about getting out of your home, evacuating to a neighbor, friend, or family member, or you can, you know, I've got to check to see if we have our shelter open. It was open, and then we did close in the wee hours of the morning because everyone got placed. But certainly there's time for them to get out to a family member, but get themselves out of harm's way. You know, they have to be careful. It's treacherous driving on our streets. We have to get crews out to remove a lot of the debris and the trees. You know, all the streets down by the ocean are covered with stones and sand and pieces of wood from houses and docks and all of that stuff, stairways. It's a mess.
So it would seem like common sense that people should try to stay put, not be out and about, not get in the way of the crews trying to do their work.
That's not the way it was yesterday, Sharon. We hope people heed the warning of our public safety officials. You know, we have a great coordinated effort with our fire and police through our emergency operations center. We have Eversource people here at the EOC helping to try to restore power and to identify those places that they can quickly replace the power and get electricity so people can have heat in their house. But we had so many people that had to be rescued yesterday because they were out sightseeing. It was very frustrating for the police, the fire, for the National Guard folks to rescue people when they drove through huge puddles and their cars stalled out.
Even after the warnings?
Even after the warnings, you know, we did a reverse 911 call. We asked people to stay in their house. We put a traffic ban in place to make it easier for our police and our fire and, you know, the utility companies to be able to maneuver. And people were still out sightseeing, even last night.
What do you think you will have the crews doing after high tide today?
Well, after high tide today, you know, first thing to do is we need to do an assessment to figure out, you know, where is the damage? You know, let's put a plan together how we're going to tackle this. Work with the utility companies on how we're going to quickly get services restored to people. And then really it's the big cleanup, you know, getting the main roads and the side streets cleaned up. You know, there were certain areas of town you can't even get into certain neighborhoods because there were so many big trees. The DPW has been fantastic. Our DPW, they were out all last night. They brought in some independent contractors to help them to use front-end loaders and bulldozers to move trees out of the way so that there'd be some limited access.
Compared to other storms that you've experienced in Marshfield, how does this one compare?
You know, this is right up there with the damage and the magnitude of the no-name storm of 1991.
That's significant.
It's significant because of the multiple tides. You know, we're going into now third tide. And, you know, the wind had died down a little last night, but then it picked up around 3 a.m. and it continues to blow. What that does, it keeps the water from going out. So, you know, in the incoming tide, it just raises the levels that much higher. It also, you know, when you get three consecutive tides like that, it affects how the rivers, it affects the level of the rivers also and forces the rivers to, you know, spill over onto their banks, you know, upside streets into people's houses.
Well, Michael, good luck during the cleanup, and thank you for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much, Sharon.
That's town manager Michael Maresco giving us an update on conditions in Marshfield. And all coastal communities have been affected by this nor'easter. For example, on the Cape in Yarmouth, police say they have more than 100 reports of trees and limbs down. According to police, there are several utility poles are down, some roads and neighborhoods are flooded, and at major intersections, traffic lights are out or only flashing. This is 90.9 WBUR.